I am Planta on the Line in Vancouver, British Columbia at thecommentary.ca. Starting Thursday at the Historic Theatre at the Cultures, the world premiere of Homecoming, a play by Camila Sediego. She joins me now to talk about the show that features three generations of Filipino women who hop between an ocean and time, memory and dreams. The show is part of the Cultures' 7th Annual Femme Festival. I'll ask Ms. Sediego, who joins me now, about the show that reflects on cultural identity and familial duty, and in that important context of being from the Philippines and coming to a place like Canada. It's a personal story and universal at the same time. I'll ask Camila about its genesis and the place she writes from as somebody being born here and finding her way to her roots. It's a journey that not all of us take, and certainly not at the same time. Camila Sediego is a playwright and dramaturge who is a Playwrights Theatre Centre associate and a resident dramaturge of Vancouver Asian Canadian Theatre's Creation Lab. She's also the creator of Encanto. Homecoming begins in previews Thursday, the 2nd of May, and runs until Sunday, May 12th. Visit theculch.com for tickets and information. Homecoming is directed by Hazel Venzin, and its cast includes Rhea Casido, Lisa Neptuno, Lisa Gerbel, Carmela Sison, and Aura Carcueva. We taped this interview 1 week ago. Please welcome to the Planta Online program, Camila Sediego. Ms. Sediego, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. The title of the show is Homecoming, and it's a fascinating idea of the word itself, because the show is about home. It's about coming to a different place, but it's also coming back to home, wherever that is. It's just rife with all these ideas that we have about belonging and place. It seems like an inevitable title. Was it something that took a long time to get to, say?
The title?
Yeah.
No, I think actually, yeah, it, like you just said, it kind of really encapsulates the whole larger theme in the play, while also leaving room for all the intricacies of what home can mean and what belonging can mean for different people. You know, and really I hope that the title evokes that feeling of belonging and nostalgia and hope. That there can be a return, that there can be some sense of solace again, defined by, you know, in different ways by different people.
So the play is about three generations of Filipino women. When you're conceiving of this show, when you're writing this show, and this is a show that we'll soon see at the Cult and at the Evergreen Center in Coquitlam, soon. Do you obviously think, because of your own background, you think of your own ancestors, don't you?
Yes, definitely. So much of my work, and especially in the last few years, as I've really opened up my process and how I think about my work and my role as a playwright, it's definitely opened up to, I've opened up a lot in terms of being open to my ancestors and listening to their guidance and, you know, blessing. And I was thinking about it recently. This show is so much about, you know, across generations, the learning or potential learnings that can or don't happen for so many different reasons. Uh-huh. And, you know, I hope that it's something that can resonate with people, even if you haven't had that experience. I grew up not knowing any of my grandparents, not knowing any of my extended family because they were all in the Philippines.
Yeah.
And so I think partly in writing this story and really prioritizing cross-generational interactions, relationships, all those things, that I was kind of crafting it even for myself. But, it's a huge part of the play for sure.
So as a result, when you're crafting it for yourself, you obviously learn a great deal about your background, your roots, say. But do you learn something about yourself as a result?
Yeah. I mean, that's such a huge question. My mind is scrambling because there's so many things I learned. And also, too, this this has been a long process. I've, you know, was writing it and it was in development for a long time. And so I have definitely changed over the course of this whole production. You know, I have changed and learned a lot about myself. I can say, like, one thing in particular is that I've really come to understand that my definition of who I am, as a Filipino person, as a Filipino Canadian person, doesn't need to be defined by anyone else but me. And I think growing up, I really struggled with that. I really wanted to, you know, quote unquote, be good enough.
Sure.
By whose ever standards, I don't know, but probably, you know, societies and assimilation and all these things. Growing up, those are like maybe not at the forefront of your mind when you're a younger person, but it's definitely there. And so I think through the course of writing this play, I've really come to embrace the fact that I can define it for myself.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it, that it's not at the forefront of your thinking as you're growing up or even now. But it does come back regularly, doesn't it? I mean, this idea of whether you're being Filipino enough or being Canadian enough, right?
Yes, yeah, totally. Like, you know, there's this constant narrative of, you know, BIPOC people not being seen or represented in media when they were younger. And now there's been, you know, maybe not enough yet or not enough of a representation, but there has been a bit of a, you know, resurgence or a surplus of stories, right? Now that we're seeing it and people are saying, oh, I never got to see myself, all of these things. And it's like when you're young, when I was 10, when I was 15, you know, I didn't think of that because I didn't even know that was something I should be looking for. And so like that kind of thing, right? Like I don't think of it first, or I can't define it for myself first like that in such clear, specific ways when you're growing up. But I, you know, I'll speak personally. I definitely felt like I was lacking on either side of that identity, you know, that I wasn't Canadian enough, but also too that I wasn't Filipino enough. And yeah, it was an interesting struggle, I think, to be on either side, not know where you fit in.
So what is it like, Camilla, in this time where you're putting on this show, you're mounting the production, and you're working with your director, Hazel Venzin, and the members of the cast? Well, in terms of the discussions you're all having, I'm sure the experience, most of you, I guess, share a background or experience that might be useful in terms of what they bring to the stage. So I'm curious to know what those discussions amongst all of you are like.
Yeah, I mean, it is such an interesting group because we are varied in terms of our lived experiences. You know, some of us were born here, some of us were born in the Philippines or elsewhere. You know, there are people who are coming from across Canada as well, so different Canadian experiences too.
Yeah.
So, you know, there isn't just one story or one narrative for sure, right? But I think what's been really special about this group in particular is that we can come to each other, we can share these things, all these different perspectives and backgrounds and experiences, and really see each other in a safe environment to share. And, you know, this play is a lot about family and, you know, that no matter where you come from or what cultural identity you align yourself with, family is such a complex and huge thing, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's been really, really special to be able to be with this group of people and know that we can share safely. And also, too, that if you don't want to share, that's also fine.
Yeah.
I think that's been a really great success in this group.
One of the things that the show does look at is familial duty. It's obviously from the Filipino perspective, but I mean, that's a theme that's universal, isn't it? Regardless of where you come from in the world, these are things that all cultures that come to Canada have to contend with, right?
Yes.
What can you tell us without spoiling it, obviously, or a lot of us haven't seen the show yet. What can you tell us about what Homecoming deals with regards to familial duty?
Yeah, there's a lot at play. How should I say it? So I think in line or tied in, woven into familial duty is this sense of guilt. Whether that is, you know, someone giving, putting guilt upon you, or someone feeling guilt about doing this or not doing that, you know. There is a complex back and forth between all the characters of all the different generations of trying to navigate what is that guilt and where is it coming from, how am I holding it, and how do I, what do I do with that guilt? And maybe that's also tied in just for me personally, growing up, like we kind of chatted about earlier, growing up in a Catholic environment, you know, that's also deeply layered into Filipino cultures, Catholicism in general. And so, you know, there's a lot of navigating in the play. And is any one character successful at navigating it? I don't know. Like, I don't think there is a correct way or a wrong way or anything like that. It is so deeply personal, and especially, you know, each family is different and how they work within themselves is different. But a lot of the family duty that comes through in this play, you know, comes down to how do you take care of your parents and how do your parents take care of you? Even like sibling dynamics, yeah. You know, there's this, as an oldest daughter, I have felt this, like, what are the responsibilities of the oldest in a family and all those things. So, yeah, very complex, lots of things. Family is hard.
Indeed. And a lot of us will look forward to seeing what Homecoming says about all of that. Another thing that Homecoming contends with is the effect of migration. And I think that's something that we don't talk about. Because that certainly affects people who leave a place, the people that they leave behind, and and the people that grow up elsewhere, you know, wherever this place that the people migrate to. So, I mean, that's three generations right there.
Yeah.
This is something, obviously, that you think about, don't you? The effects, good and especially bad, right?
Yeah. It's the good and the bad and the confusing, right? And much like that, there, you know, when someone leaves a country for whatever reason, there are as if there are consequences, the before and after, right?
Yeah.
And like you mentioned, yeah, what happens to the people who get left behind or who choose to stay, and what happens to the people who come after them? This is definitely something I've, journeyed through for myself in my life. My parents were both the only people in their families to leave the Philippines. And so, and they come from large families, right? They're leaving behind, they left behind so many people and so many things. And that's been a huge question for me growing up and just learning about my parents as people in general. You know, what was that journey like? What did that feel like to step away and to create a new family, to make new roots somewhere else, you know?
Yeah, that's something that I don't think I've really thought about myself in terms of, because I was born here. My parents came from elsewhere. It just seems like they came here and they worked hard often. But I never really thought about, you know, what they left behind or you know, what effect that might have had on them.
Yeah.
And I think for a lot of people that's the case, isn't it? That they don't think about. It's sold to a lot of us as, you know, it was a good thing that they came here as opposed to us growing up elsewhere. Back home, but there is an effect there that I think. I guess people like of your generation, especially, are thinking about just the effect of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because there is a negative to this.
And even just, you know, like so much of what has been presented in the mainstream is about, you know, the journey to the quote-unquote dream, the better place,
yeah.
You know, especially, you know, when we think of just Western media in general,
sure,
you know, the American dream or the Canadian dream, whatever it is, so much of the perspective or the focus of the story is leaving behind and be turning it into better, but it's so much more than that, you know. I often think there is the immigrant story, and then there are all the different versions of the immigrant story. You know, there is not one way that people migrate and are displaced and have to move, you know. So, yeah, I think about that a lot. There are so many more versions of that story than what we've mostly seen in the mainstream media.
Yeah, as somebody who's grown up in Vancouver and was born here, I mean, I would hate to think. I mean, I'm 42 now. I'd hate to think that I'd have to up and leave one day and go somewhere else and start over again.
Yeah, it's huge. Yeah, I don't know that I could do it either. I'm so rooted here, so it'd be hard. Yeah, it's hard to think about.
I read a quote of yours where you talk about the Filipino community in Vancouver, and I found it fascinating. You say that it's been a source of complex inspiration and curiosity. So I'll ask you about what you think of the Filipino community in Vancouver. I mean, I told you before we started, I went to Tupper. And, you know, there were kids like me who were born here from the Philippines. And then there were kids that we went to school with that had just immigrated here. You know, their parents had brought them here. And so they were new to Canada. It seemed to me that the two groups never really came together. I don't know if that's your experience with the Filipino community in this town, but that's the experience I had. You know, this is going back now 25, 30 years ago now. Growing up, that's what I saw.
Yeah, I mean, again, right? Like everything, it's kind of like the quote unquote easy answer, but it's not really. It's just like it's so complex, you know. Like I grew up in a community that was very Filipino. Uh-huh. I went to schools that were predominantly Filipino. I also, my parents spent a lot of time in the church, and that was a lot of our social life came from the church, and the church was very Filipino. So my understanding of Vancouver, until actually, this is kind of funny. I thought, everyone, like mostly people everywhere were Filipino until I went to university. So I was like, I mean, you know, I make myself sound so dumb, but
no, you know,
not thinking, aware.
Well, thinking about that, because my experience is very unlike that. I can't help but think how much richer I'd have been if I were in your situation.
Yeah, from my experience, I was like growing up in a very, very Filipino-oriented environment. Uh-huh. But also, too, like a very specific kind of Filipino, like you were mentioning, folks who have just come to, like, have just come to Canada versus folks who were born here with immigrant parents, you know, like a lot of the kids that I grew up with who were Filipino were all mostly born here in Canada to Filipino immigrant parents. And so, like, it was also, like, a very specific type of Filipino growing up, you know? And I was saying, you know, I didn't realize that there were more people around in Vancouver till I went to university at UBC, and it really opened my eyes. Again, I'm kind of painting myself as maybe super naive and sheltered, but I think I kind of was, you know. I was in such an insular environment, and I really had to open my eyes again. And at the same time, when I opened my eyes and I saw the actual majority in the real world outside of my sheltered upbringing, that really, like, confused me also and changed how I was seeing myself and what I thought I was supposed to be and all these things. And, you know, I feel like Vancouver has gone through a wave of, or like ups and downs, really, of Filipino, like, centered spaces, you know? Like, growing up, Main Street, like, portions of Main Street and Fraser Street were, you know, the little Filipino towns, you know, where there were businesses and little blocks of, you know, neighborhoods where you could go and you know that you could get this there and this there and this there that you can't get anywhere else, you know. But those spaces are disappearing. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, the comment is necessarily, but this town is changing so fast that I find, I question where and how we as Filipino people here in Vancouver can come together. And I mean, hopefully it's one of the ways is through art, you know, through this theater piece, we can come together that way. But what's the larger picture? What's the larger solution? I don't know.
Yeah.
Which is, again, why it's so complex. There's so many ways around this issue. But yeah, that was a long-winded answer.
No, I think it's a great way to think about it, because as the city changes, and it changes very quickly, we need to think about how we want it to look like, and where these places that will feel comfortable and will be colorful and interesting, etc., where they'll be and what place, you know, what places will be welcoming to a lot of people. And I think we lose sight of that, I think, when a city changes as it does. I want to ask you about writing. Was it always, like, growing up, did you always want to write?
I did. I don't think I knew that growing up. I knew I was as a kid, I was very much, you know, the quiet kid that would bring a book to a party, and then I would sit down and read the book in the party, in the middle of the party. So I was very much that kid, and I have always been someone who enjoyed stories, and I did a lot of journaling growing up, but I didn't know that that was something you could do as an adult. And even as I grew up, I knew that was the thing people did. Obviously, you know, I was reading the books other people were writing and things like that, but I didn't think I could be that, or that I would be allowed to do that and make that my main career and focus and goal. Yeah, so did I know? No, because I don't think I knew that I was allowed to.
See, that's an important thing, isn't it, now that you're doing it as your work, as your career, as your profession, because you didn't see anybody who looked like you who did it.
No.
Yeah, now,
and definitely not in my own circles, you
sure,
know, no one anywhere close to me that I would know personally or anything like that was a writer. So,
So it must be cool to think that somebody younger will look at you and say, "I could do that one day."
I hope so. I'm humbled every day, in lots of different ways, but especially with all of this, you know, around homecoming. I hope that's one little thing that I can contribute. Is that hopefully someone out there also is like, "Oh, okay, I can do that too. I can also grow up and be an artist." Because, I think that option is so easily taken away from people, especially Filipino people, young people who are always, you know, encouraged to become nurses or doctors or whatever else. You can do that, and that's, of course, totally okay and very, very noble professions, but there's also other things that people can do.
Absolutely, yeah. As a writer, how do you find it in terms of recharging and finding inspiration as you do? It could, because it is work. I'm sure you hit roadblocks and the sort. How do you deal with all that?
That's a big one. I try to remember the reason why I'm working on something, to really, you know, realign myself with the purpose of, like, who am I doing this for? Why is it important that I'm working on this story? And usually that really helps me reinvigorate myself in terms of the work. I also really go to my family a lot. And again, you know, I'm working on trying to create or make it a more of a practice, I should say, of looking to my ancestors for, you know, guidance and blessing, and really to help me ground myself in those moments of panic when I can't figure something out, or if I do hit those roadblocks. I tend to go through those routes first.
I was going to let you go, but I just realized something. I remember reading about you that you had roots in Iloilo.
Yeah, that's where my mom is from.
Yeah, that's where my both my parents are from. I'm curious to know, when you went back there, for the first time, not just the first time, but in subsequent trips, what did it feel like for you in terms of this idea of home? Did you feel comfortable right away?
Yes and no. Yeah, so I've been able to go back to the Philippines as an adult twice in my life now.
Uh-huh.
The other time before that, I was 2 years old,
sure.
So I don't really
yeah.
count it as a thing. But yeah, the last few times I've been able to go to the Philippines and also to visit Iloilo, there's definitely always still a bit of culture shock. And at the same time, while experiencing that shock, also just knowing I'm supposed to be here, you know, like
yeah.
I'm from here. Even though, and again, a lot of homecoming, the play comes from this feeling as well. It's like, even though I've never really been here, I don't fully understand or speak any of the dialects or languages. I'm okay. I'm, you know, I feel safe in these spaces and on this land. And that really comes through. And again, it's a very confusing time, a confusing experience when I'm there because of those two, you know, juxtaposing ideas
yeah.
and feelings. But, yeah, it's very much like it's the strange familiar, you know.
That's exactly how I felt. I went back. Well, I went there as a kid when I was 7, or I think
mm-hmm.
I was younger than that, actually, which I don't really remember other than the heat.
Yeah.
Then I went back 14 years ago, 2010, and
yeah.
So as an adult, I was walking around myself, and I did it did feel oddly familiar, as you just said.
Mm-hmm.
It felt comfortable. I didn't understand what everyone was saying. You know, I understood about 3/4 of it, but people look like me, and people
yeah.
look like people I knew. Growing up, and
mm-hmm.
So it did feel oddly like home.
Yeah, it was also wild. I'll add too, like, because again, I didn't have the experience of ever seeing or knowing any of my extended family
uh-huh.
Growing up here in Canada. But as soon as we were in the Philippines, and I could see my mom with her siblings, and I could see my dad with some of his siblings, you know, for the first time ever. Like that was really, heavy,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
To realize, oh yes, yes, yes. My parent was a sister first. She was a daughter first or, you know, whatever it is. And to feel that familiarity, like they look the same. They have the same mannerisms. They have the same laugh, even though it's been decades since they've seen each other. So, yeah, again, another layer of that strange, familiar kind of thing.
So I'm sure we'll all get choked up when we see Homecoming, either at the Culture or at Evergreen Center. But the show is also humorous, too, isn't it?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope it's not the thing where I just think I'm funny and no one else. we will soon find out. But, yeah, I hope it's a little funny.
Yeah. Camilla, it's been such a pleasure to talk to you today. Like a lot of people, I'm looking forward to the show, and I guess to wish you well, to break a leg, as they say, in your business.
Yeah, thank you so much, and thank you so much for allowing me this space as well.
Visit theculch.com for tickets to Homecoming, and that's at the Historic Theater at the Culch, Thursday, May 2nd through to Sunday, May 12th. Homecoming's playwright, Camilla Sediego, joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plata.